from KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Mina Kim, in for Michael Krasny. Coming up on Forum, firefighters are racing to contain more of the Kincade Fire ahead of this afternoon's projected high winds. The blaze has grown to more than 75,000 acres and is 15% contained, while more than 150,000 people remain under mandatory evacuation orders. We'll go to an update on the fire from CAL FIRE and law enforcement officials in Santa Rosa shortly. Later in the hour, we'll also get an update on the next round of PG&E power shutoffs that could impact more than 600,000 people. Stay with us.
Let's listen in here. We're about to bring you this update from CAL FIRE. We're going to hear from the Sonoma County Sheriff
as
well.
Let's
listen together.
9 a.m. press conference for the Kincade incident here in Sonoma, Lake, and Napa counties. I'm Jonathan Cox, Division Chief and Information Officer with CAL FIRE Incident Management Team 6. Just a few housekeeping items. Again, if you could mute your telephones and take any side conversations outside the press conference area, that would be greatly appreciated. Additionally, we will roll straight into a Spanish language version of this press conference at the conclusion of the English language version. We will have time for questions and answers, so if you can hold any questions until after all of the speakers are done. And finally, we will have time for one-on-one conversations at the conclusion of the press conference. Just to summarize where we're at from where we were 12 hours ago, the fire stands at 75,000 acres. It grew a little bit overnight, especially on that eastern side, the eastern flank. We still are holding at 15% containment. We still have 90,000 structures that are threatened, and can confirm that 124 structures have been destroyed and 23 have been damaged. Two firefighters have been injured. As you know, just a little bit of an update on the firefighter who was flown to UC Davis Medical Center with burn injuries. He's in stable condition and is surrounded by his family at the hospital currently. With that, I'm going to pass it over to our National Weather Service representative, Ryan Walbrun.
Okay, good morning. So we are in the red flag warning that we had issued yesterday. So that officially started at 8 o'clock this morning. That runs through 4 p.m. Wednesday afternoon. We are starting to see the northeast winds pick up right now along the eastern flank of the fire up near Mount St. Helena. We're starting to get reports of 30 and 40 mile an hour winds up there. So even though the winds are not down at the lower elevations, the forecast is on track. What that means is a challenging afternoon and evening of strong, dry offshore winds that will impact the fire area. So we're in this critical, really 24-hour window. We're hopeful that the winds will ease off after midnight tonight. But tomorrow, the humidities remain incredibly dry for the region on the order of 5 to 15%. The good news is after we get through this wind event, things do look favorable for the next 5 to 7 days, where we'll get into a more tranquil weather pattern. No rain in the forecast, but also no more offshore wind events. Thank you.
Speaking next about fire behavior is our plan section chief, Adam Mitchell.
Good morning. In addition to the weather issues that we're seeing, we also need to remember that we're at the time of year where we haven't seen any moisture in our fuel beds for an extended period of time. The fuels are critically dry. They are receptive to new fire as well as fire spread. So as we see the challenges with the weather, we have influences of heavy fire spread issues being at a rate of erratic and dangerous. And so we need to make sure that we're aware of any new starts or any fire behavior that we see out there today from this fire is going to be dangerous and erratic. Finally, with the winds that we're going to see, we have the trees and the things that are going to be stressed from fire being in them are going to be weakened, and they are available to be broken off in the high winds that could impact routes of travel or any areas where firefighters are working. Thank you.
Speaking next will be Sonoma County Sheriff Essek.
Good morning. We have some good news for you overnight from the Sheriff's Office evacuation perspective.
It was a quiet night as far as activity. We had no arrests to report, no major incidents to report. Our deputies and our law enforcement partners are out in the field. They're patrolling heavily. They are contacting people to check on them, make sure that they are in areas appropriately. We really need to say thank you to our law enforcement partners. We have over 140 different law enforcement agencies here on mutual aid. We have patrol cars. You'll see patrol cars in our area from all over the northern part of California, and particularly the National Guard is here. They've been working with us to set up traffic control checkpoints, so you will see National Guard folks along with peace officers at checkpoints. They're doing an amazing job of protecting neighborhoods, keeping people out, and we will continue to be vigilant for people who are entering evacuation zones against orders, and we will continue to be very vigilant for people who are engaged in looting, and we will not tolerate that. Today's going to be a cautious day with the winds. We've been getting a lot of questions about repopulation, how people can get back to their homes. There's a lot of anxiety and anxiousness there. We are going to work with CAL FIRE and look at these weather forecasts and these fire forecasts. Today's probably not going to be a good day to talk about repopulation as far as good news. We're going to have to kind of wait and see how the winds behave, how the fire behaves, before we can talk about repopulation. So although many people are anxious to get back, today is probably going to be a day that we pause consideration of repopulation. Please continue to follow us on Nixel and other social media platforms. Please monitor KSRO radio and KZST. Those are two local radio stations who are providing up-to-the-minute continuous coverage. So if we have breaking news about repopulation or any other evacuation areas or any evacuation concerns, you will hear it there probably first. Thank you for continuing to be patient with us. We understand people want to get back to their neighborhoods. We need your patience. The danger has not passed yet, and we continue to monitor the situation. Thank you.
From the California Highway Patrol is Captain Wolf.
Good morning, everyone. Captain Aristotle Wolf with California Highway Patrol. I'm your local CHP commander. The California Highway Patrol continues to be at maximum staffing, both locally and with resources from all over the Bay Area. We have helped the sheriff and CAL FIRE in their efforts for containment along with repopulation. In doing so, we have been very appreciative of the patience and the understanding that the community has shown. There are areas that are denied access, and with repopulation, there will be areas that may not seem logical to you. Those are based on sound decision-making. No one takes that lightly. I will say that just because there's a fire, we do maintain robust, normal operations, so your safety is ensured on the roadway. And with that, I will add, please don't add to the problem. Just on the way here today, on my way to an operations briefing before this conference, I made a stop on a gentleman who had thrown a cigarette butt on the freeway traveling through Petaluma. This is no time to add to the problem. Please help us subtract from it. Please work with us and show the rest of the world just how strong Sonoma County is. Thank you.
Thank you. And our final formal speaker representing the Sonoma County Board of Supervisors is Supervisor Rabbit.
Thank you. Obviously, along with our concerns about the fire this morning and overnight, we are under a code blue advisory with freezing temperatures predicted for several nights this week. Those of you, we encourage our residents who are evacuated, if you're in a car, in an RV, that you make sure that you are cognizant of the weather. A list of evacuation shelters and other safety information is always available at socoemergency.org. That's socoemergency.org. You can also call 211 for more information and support. I can tell you that we have 21 shelters open. We have a capacity for nearly 5,000 people. There are still beds available for those needing them. Those of folks who are returning to their previously evacuated areas need to exercise caution. You may find debris in the road from the high winds. You should report dangerous fallen trees or branches or other obstructions on city streets. Call your public works department or 211 once again. For road debris in the unincorporated areas of the county, call the Transportation Public Works at 707-565-5100. When you do return home, make sure that you exercise caution there as well. Make sure that you look at the food in your refrigerator, throw out what's spoiled. This is also a time of year where people, where illnesses can go around pretty quickly. We also have instances of locations within the county that are out of gas or the gas is not hooked up. And again, with the cold weather, we urge caution there as well. Take care of each other. Can't stress this enough. Check on your neighbors. Offer support to those who need it. We'll recover from this event, and we'll do it best if we can do it together. And as always, I want to reiterate my thanks to all the first responders and our colleagues from across the state who have come here to help us with this event, and also thank our state and federal partnerships. It's been nothing short of spectacular. Thank you.
You've been listening to a briefing in Santa Rosa by fire and law enforcement officials. I'm Mina Kim. As you've heard, the Kincade Fire as of this morning has grown to 75,000 acres and is 15% contained. 90,000 structures are threatened. 120 structures have been destroyed. We're getting the latest on fire conditions and containment efforts. And we're joined now by Susan Gorin. She is a supervisor for the 1st District in Sonoma County. Good morning, Susan Gorin.
Good morning. It brings back memories when you were up in Santa Rosa and we had a conversation together about the impacts of the fire, and here it is all over again.
Yes, I don't know that we anticipated it happening this quickly. And Kevin Stark is also with us. He's KQED science reporter. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning. Thanks again for having me.
Thanks for being with us, Kevin. I know you were at that presser in Santa Rosa and that you have been in Windsor and in other parts of Sonoma County. First, tell me, we were hearing that Windsor has been in imminent danger. Based on what you heard this morning at the presser and also from speaking with fire officials, is Windsor out of danger?
Look, it's another day. We have another shift in the weather. The winds are not going to be as bad as what we saw on Sunday, where the gusts were peaking at 90 miles an hour in some places. But firefighters are still on their toes here. Windsor is at the south end of the fire. That is a big area of concern today. Firefighters yesterday were able to make a lot of progress and really fortify the area down there, but those lines are going to be tested as the day goes on and into the night tonight with those strong coastal winds. This is an area that's along kind of the old Redwood Highway. The fire is just pressed up right into the foothills there.
And so how is morale among firefighters?
The people that I talked to today are very, very energized. But at this point, some of them have been running double shifts. When firefighters go out, they're out for 24 hours. So they're starting to get tired. Fatigue is starting to set in. Some of the firefighters that are here have driven in from other states. So this is all factors that are sort of leading up to the conditions today. Generally, I would say they're very determined. They feel like if they can make progress today, they can really come around this fire, make a lot of headway, and then we could start to see those containment numbers go up even higher. Even though the containment numbers didn't really rise last night, they felt like they made a lot of progress, especially on the northeast side of the fire, where this is a really rugged terrain. It's very difficult to access. They couldn't get a lot of equipment in there, but last night they were able to get bulldozers in and cut some lines. And so now they can be a lot more mobile on that side of the fire.
Well, let me open our phones and invite our listeners to join the conversation. The number 866-733-6786 for your questions about the Kincade Fire or concerns that you have. Post your comments on Facebook, Twitter, at KQED Forum on our website, or email us at forum@kqed.org. Supervisor Susan Gorin, you are also with us. And one of the things that we heard during the press conference was an official say that this is not a good day to talk about repopulation for those people who did have to flee their homes. What can you tell us about the state of your constituents?
Well, fortunately, unlike 2 years ago, my district, my constituents, for the most part, have not been threatened by this fire, although I do represent folks living in the Mark West area and extremely nervous because they were making progress on rebuilding their homes. And now the threat of the fire coming down through Porter Creek and Mark West Springs Road, sweeping back over the same areas that were devastated by the fires just 2 years ago. So those folks are nervous. We have a lot of hugs, a lot of tears. I checked in with our director of human services a few minutes ago. Her house was decimated. She moved back in. She's so grateful, but here she is manning the phones and planning a human safety services for all of our citizens who desperately need it. So I can't say enough good things about our incredible first responders. And Kevin is right. I've talked with many of them who were working double shifts. Fortunately, they got a little sleep last night or the night before, but they're like Energizer bunnies. They have focus and commitment and absolute passion for protecting the lives and the structures, if at all possible, from these kind of fires. And they attack the fires with military precision. And you're going here, you're going here, this is what we're going to do. And all of the residents of Sonoma County are eternally grateful once again for those first responders coming in from other states and certainly other regions of California. But the community also is rallying, and we are exhausted because many of us have been without power probably more often than not. And it is, even though we're not threatened by the fire, the smoke hangs over all of the valleys. Everybody should be wearing a breathing mask. And we do have some folks moving into the western part of the county. So the smoke is pretty heavy there. They have no gas, for the most part, no electricity. And they have the awesome task of cleaning out refrigerator and moving on, trying to normalize lives. But as Supervisor Rabbit said this morning, it is a code blue. We have freezing temperatures at night. This is what makes a difference, different from 2 years ago. There are many people sleeping in RVs and in their cars or under the underpasses. And it's not evenings that you should be out in this kind of weather.
Well, so how are you dealing with the challenges for people who need heat? Basically, they cannot necessarily heat their homes if they don't have power because of the, you know, the connection between their gas and the electric systems to power the heat. And then also people who are in their cars or people who are homeless. How are you addressing that?
We, as Supervisor Rabbit said, we encourage everybody to go to a shelter. We have shelters all throughout Petaluma and the Santa Rosa Vets Building and the Grace Pavilion, but also in other counties, Napa County, Marin County, Alameda County, which are we are so grateful for them sheltering animals and our residents once again. So if you're cold, get out of your car, go to one of the shelters. Even though they're at capacity, they always have their doors open to welcome people in and keep warm. But we have a lot of seniors living in the community. And I have to say, my mother-in-law is amazing, incredible pioneer spirit. She's fine, but she gets cold. And so those kind of folks need to move to those community centers that may have a generator and may have heat.
Well, let's go to some listeners who are calling in. Let's go to David in Santa Rosa. Hi, David.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm calling from my house where the electricity is off and reliving what we experienced 2 years ago. But I wanted to comment on the fact that there's a lot more things that start fires than just power lines. We had CHP commenting about cigarettes, but, I mean, fire is as old as time, and we could do a lot in changing the susceptibility of our infrastructure, our buildings, our homes, reducing their susceptibility to ignition, to fire. And we've rebuilt, we're rebuilding here the homes that burned in 2017 with the same fuel. The millions of BTUs of fuel are being put back. And it is actually at the home sites that we need to be looking at preventing fires, not the shrubs and the bushes up in the hills. If we built with materials that wouldn't burn, we would be much less in danger of loss of structures and loss of life. And there are shelter-in-place communities built in San Diego County and places like that. I think we need to go back and look at our building standards and use materials that don't add fuel to our environment.
David, thank you. Supervisor Gorin, so what are you doing in terms of trying to make sure that essentially the area will not be so prone to burn next time, especially homes in terms of hardening homes and things like that?
Well, thanks, David, for your comments. Indeed, David and I have had multiple comments about exactly that, and I agree with him. We do need to look at materials. I think every fire survivor who is rebuilding their homes are using fire-resistant siding and certainly roofs. As we build our home, we're going to have a steel roof and stucco siding and resistant windows and certainly defensible space around the house. I have to disagree with him a little bit. For those houses that can afford to do that, if they're on large enough lots, we're looking at 30 to 50 feet away from the house. Look at areas that are combustible. Cut down that vegetation that could go up into the trees. So I think what David is talking about is perhaps cement products, and I think that that is absolutely important. I know that we've been preaching the gospel on fire-resistant materials, but he's right. I think not enough people are really absorbing the lessons learned from 2 years ago, and we'll continue to work on that. I'm rebuilding my house with solar panels and battery backup because I'm not going, and I'll offer my house as evacuation sites. I don't want to be beholden to a utility that may shut down power preemptively and proactively as much as they have done in October. That is not sustainable.
As someone who did have to evacuate and then ultimately lost your home, what are you telling people as they approach returning to sites that may have burned?
I think the first thing, my heart goes out to them because I'm still in the process of fighting with an insurance company and understanding how PG&E lawsuits might move forward. But you have to take care of things first. You have to take care of your family and yourself and find the comfort, find the counseling. Even if you come back to a house that's still standing, the trauma of evacuating, although we had a little bit more time this time, but the trauma of evacuating for any length of time and trying to keep your family's spirits buoyed is incredibly exhausting and emotionally exhausting. Reach out to the Hope Crisis Counselors, and I'll give you a number as soon as I cue it up a little bit. Here it is. It's area code 707-291-3788. Don't try to gut it out. Find the help you need it. We're in a very stressful time, and you need to take care of yourself so that you can take care of your family and your community. When you return home, it's unlikely you're going to have power, whether it's electricity or gas. You're going to be cold. Try to seek out places that have heat. When the power returns, hopefully starting tomorrow night.
Mm-hmm. 10 seconds, Supervisor Gorin.
Yeah, and then look at that refrigerator, throw out the food, and come together as a community.
Sonoma County Supervisor Susan Gorin and KQED science reporter Kevin Stark, thanks to both of you. And also thanks to KTVU, who provided the audio of the CAL FIRE press conference at the start of the show. We'll have more this time on the shutoffs. Stay with us.